This week is a special week. Anybody know what week this is? Nobody? This coming week is a special holiday week. Anybody know what holiday we're talking about? You guys, it's Thanksgiving. At least in the U.S. and a couple other countries, I think it is Thanksgiving. And you see, it's not uncommon for people to make a list of things around Christmas time. We call them wish lists. They write down a bunch of things that they would like to have for Christmas. Little kids write letters to Santa. I'd like a new bike. I'd like a new ball. I'd like something. Wish lists. It's not uncommon to make another list around New Year's. We call them resolutions. What I would like to do this coming year, what I would like to achieve, make resolutions lists. But there's a list that is often overlooked, a Thanksgiving list. Things in your heart that you say thank you to the Lord for. This is a good list. This is a list that we ought to be making on a constant basis. There was an old hymn that we used to sing in churches many years ago, and that old hymn was, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. I don't know the exact words, but it says it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so I like the idea of a Thanksgiving day, a Thanksgiving holiday. I know it's not a holiday here, but perhaps it should be. Of all the holidays that we have, I can't think of one where it's just dedicated to taking an inventory and giving thanks from a heart of thankfulness. This one is often overlooked. So today, I'm going to share with you a psalm. We're going to take a closer look at it together. And I'm going to challenge you with this idea and with this heart of thanksgiving. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 100. The sermon today is going to be on the entire psalm. But luckily, it's only 5 verses, so you don't have too much to fret about this morning. Psalms 100. Let's read the entire verse. Would you like to read with me, please? Let's stand together and read Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Ready? A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's pray together. Thank you, my Lord, for this psalm that's been written here, the reminder that we, your people, above all, should be a thankful people with thanksgiving in our hearts. So today I pray that you would renew in us this heart of thanksgiving. And Lord, may we leave here today truly counting our blessings and the many ways that you have blessed us. And Father, we thank you most of all for the blessing that is Christ Jesus. For by him we have salvation. By him we have everlasting life. But Lord, you also bless us abundantly in many areas, and we thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. I was reading a list of that someone had made of things that they are thankful for. And on this list, it included things like, I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means that I'm employed. I have a job. I am thankful for clothes that even are a little bit too tight because it means I have enough to eat. I am thankful for a big lawn at home that needs to be mowed. for windows that need washing and gutters that need cleaning, because it means that I have a home to live in. I am thankful for a huge heating bill because it means I am warm. I am thankful for piles of laundry because it means I have loved ones nearby that need me. And today, I really want to encourage us all to think of a list of things that you are thankful for. Our list might not look alike. Mine might be different than yours. But I think that we have much more to be thankful for than just material possessions, money in the bank, things at home. We have life itself, our health, our family members, friends. We have a wonderful country to live in. And most of all, I'm thankful for the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to us. I'm thankful for the mercy and the grace that God showers upon us through Him. Because of Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. I was reading the history of Thanksgiving in the U.S., and it began with a declaration from President George Washington. Everybody heard of George Washington? Of course, he was the first president. Everyone knows George Washington. Even know a little bit about what he looks like, most likely. But he said on a declaration in 1789, he says, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer." Can you imagine this today? "To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good things that was, that is, or that will be." Is that cool? I think that's pretty cool. Can you imagine this holiday being announced in such a way today by the U.S. or here or anywhere? But what often happens is the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful we become. As parents, we're mindful of this, aren't we? What happens, what do we call it when a child gets everything they want? We call them spoiled, like bad fruit, you know? Spoiled. Don't spoil the children. And if you just give them anything they want, do they become more and more thankful? No. And human nature is that way. It doesn't work that way. And so sometimes we have learned to say no. Even if we can, sometimes it's good to say no. And you can't have that. Be thankful for what you do have. You know, so this is a trait that goes against much of human nature. And sometimes the more we get, the less thankful we become. I was reading recently of a place in Mexico. It's unique because it has, in this one location, both hot springs and fresh cold springs. And so it was wonderful because the village ladies could go there and they could bring their laundry and they could wash it in the boiling hot water and then rinse them off in the cold water. And it was just a natural phenomena this way. One day a tourist was going there and he was observing the locals and how they would do this in washing of the laundry. And he made the comment to his tour guide, and he says, "Wow, these people must really thank God that He is generous enough to supply such ample clean hot water and clean cold water in the same place." And the Mexican guide says, "No, Señor, there is much grumbling because God supplies no soap." That's our nature, isn't it? I don't think that's a true story, by the way. But it does make a point, and it shows the nature of humans, doesn't it? Let's take a look first at the message of Thanksgiving. We had the 100th Psalm that was written for the people of Israel. And it's a reminder to them to come before God with thanksgiving. They needed to hear that. Earlier, God had cautioned the people, and I want to share this with you in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 through 12. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full." Notice the next verse. "Then beware, lest you forget the Lord." You see, the people, they had struggled for many years. They had had tough times in slavery. They were in slavery in Egypt for many hundreds of years. God had brought them out through that whole episode with Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. And through their rebellion, through their disobedience, through their grumbling, God says, "You're going to wander in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. You're going to wander." And so they wandered. But God was telling them, things will change. It is not always going to stay this way. And there's going to come a time when you're going to have nice cities with everything you can think of. There's going to come a time when you're going to have a nice home filled with wonderful things. There's going to come a time when you're going to have plenty of food on the table. He says, when that time comes, don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget him. My friends, think of times in your life when you've been in the wilderness situations. Tough times. Hard times. And every day you would get up and you see that how much you need God. You rely on him. You depend on him. You call out to him. And it's hard. But through those times, that's when you draw the closest to the Lord. You lean on him and your fellowship becomes great. And it's at those times when the message needs to be heard in your ears, when this changes, when the hardship passes, when the trial ends, when you're not in the wilderness anymore, don't forget God at that time. In the good times, when the pain isn't there nearly as much, when there's joy, when there's plenty, don't forget God at that time. So the 100th Psalm was written to remind them to be thankful. You notice who it's written to? It's written to the Israelites. But notice the beginning and the ending. Verse 1 says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Who? All you lands. And then in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So all lands, all generations, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Be thankful to the Lord. This is for you. This is for me. This is for everybody. All you lands, to all generations. Now let's take a look at five thanksgiving commands that we see in this passage here. Five thanksgiving commands. The first command is in verse 1. Make a joyful shout. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. This is the first command that we have as people of God. That word shout means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. Make it heard. Make a joyful shout to him. A shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depth of your being, out of thankfulness to him. Make that shout. I was reading of a missionary in India where the region, this was in the 1800s, the region was filled with people that for some reason was affected by progressive blindness. In this particular small region, they were born healthy, but something in the area was causing them to lose sight as they grew older. And this missionary man developed a treatment that would slow that down, that would stop it, or even prevent it from happening. And he was helping the people and willing to do this for the people to help them with this particular problem in this area. And so they would come to him, and they left realizing that they would have gone completely blind, but because of him, their sight was saved. And as they left, he realized that their particular dialect didn't have a word like we have for thank you. But instead, they used a word, and the word literally meant, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. And so they left that place with thankfulness in their heart, saying, I will tell your name. And they would tell people of who it was that saved their eyesight. And what this psalmist is saying is, suddenly you realize that God has been good to you, that he has saved you. And you, in thankfulness, will say, God, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. Make a joyful shout, a proclamation, a blast of a trumpet to the Lord, saying, God, I will tell your name. Express your joy to the Lord. The second command in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Doesn't say serve the church. Doesn't say serve the pastor or the preacher. Doesn't say serve an organization. It says serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Now, some of you, looking out across you, some of you may be unhappy with your work or with your job. I don't want to hear amen from Pastor Mike or Josh over here. This is not for you. You may be unhappy with your work. Some of you may be unhappy with your boss. Again, don't see. Now, what I am suggesting to you, if this is you, is perhaps it's not a new job that you need. But maybe you need a new boss. Again, I'm not talking about kicking out the guy that you're working for that supervises you or whatever. I'm saying you need to see that you serve the Lord. He is your boss. He is the one that you're seeking to please. And whatever you do it to him. Wherever you are working, you're not just working to please a master, a boss, a human boss. You do it to please your Lord. And as you do, chances are you're going to please your human boss too. But even if you don't, and he's unpleasable, you can be assured and rest in the joy of knowing that your Savior, the Lord, is pleased with you because you have done it to him. Take a look at Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. You know what heartily means? We don't often use that kind of word, but what does it mean, heartily? Or do it with all your heart. Okay, that means do it with effort, with gusto. As to the Lord and not to men. So do you see that? You got a boss you just can't please? Who should be your boss? You do it to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He's the one in charge. And ultimately, we acknowledge he's the one that allowed you to have that job to begin with. Do it for him. Serve him in it. If you change that attitude, it can change a lot about the kind of work that you do. If you do it just to please a boss, you don't like it, you don't like him,
And there's lots of people that live their lives this way. And they give half-hearted effort. They just do what they need to do to get by because they need some money after all. But my friends, if you do it, whatever you do, to the Lord first, it changes the way you work, the way you think. It also changes the joy in your heart because you're serving somebody else. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That's the second command. Serve the Lord with gladness. I love you, Lord. He's the greatest, and He's been so good to you. Serve Him. Thirdly, the third command that we see, come before His presence with singing. And that's what we're doing this morning when we come together and we sing these songs. We're not just here to exercise our vocal cords and to say, oh, aren't I sounding good? We are coming here into His presence with singing because there is thankfulness in our hearts. Followers of God have always sung to Him. Maybe you're new to church and you wonder, why do we always start off with singing? We come to a church service and we usually have singing. And sometimes we even go to a church meeting and we'll first start off with a song. A lot of our small groups and studies, they like to get together and have some time of singing first before they get into the Word of God. And maybe you're thinking, why? But we see throughout the Scriptures that followers of God, God's people, have always been a singing people. God made us that way. He made us to be able to express our love, our adoration, our thankfulness in a way that speaks from the heart, and that is through song. Nothing really speaks as it does through a song. Maybe you're here and you're saying, this is not fair because I'm really not a good singer. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And other people might agree with you and say, yep, he's right. Singing is not a big gift for him. I just want to tell you, that's okay. That's okay. And I praise the Lord that He doesn't grade us based on our singing level. This is not New Zealand Idol when we come together. This is not something that we're going to get judged on and God's going to say, well, Joel, you did pretty good. I accept your singing. Pastor Mike, not so good. Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? I do, but He doesn't. But what we're told to do is, well, like Psalm 98, verse 4. What does Psalm 98, 4 say? Shout joyfully. Can you do that? Another translation says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Can you make a joyful noise? It may not be on tune. It may not be the greatest sound to everybody around you, but you can make a joyful noise. Make a joy, sing joy, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. You can do that, can't you? At least in the shower at home, can you do that? And you can do that at church. As I said, we're not here to be judged and to grade. And so I really hope that you don't get the impression, all the singing times for those people who can sing. When we come together and sing, it's because we have a command to make a joyful noise to Him, to sing our praises to Him. And there's something special, there's something wonderful and powerful about God's people coming together to make that joyful noise. Not just on your own, where nobody else can hear, but we do it together and lift them up, our voices together. There's something special about that. God hears that joyful noise, and it pleases His ears. When our first daughter, Gretchen, was born, Jennifer and I were so happy. It was in a hospital, though, and the doctors quickly, you know, as soon as she was born, the doctors quickly grabbed her and whisked her away from us. And we're like, they just took her off for a moment. They took her to some scales to put her on and weigh her. And so Mom and Dad, of course, we'd like to see the baby and even hold her. But they took her off. And we saw what they were doing with her. And I remember
Jennifer remembers very well too, I'm sure. We heard a loud squawk from her. I think it was because they placed her on that metal cold scale, and with her, she wasn't clothed or anything, and so just coming from mom and being placed on cold metal, it wasn't a nice experience. We heard, ah! You know, she was really not happy. But you know what? That was lovely to hear. You know why? Because that was our girl. That was our baby. And she's healthy, and she can yell like that. She's healthy. And so it made us joyful. As she made us shout, it wasn't anything beautiful, but to us it was wonderful. And I can't help but think that somehow God sees his people, his children. And even though, you know, you're not gifted singing, but when you give from your heart whatever you got, when you give it to him, it is a joy to him. It makes him smile too. The next command that we have in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. God put together every bone, every joint, every muscle, and welded them together and covered them with skin and gave us eyes to be able to see with and brains to be able to think and fingers and hands to be able to grab and to hold things with. God made us inside out just the way he wanted you to be. I don't know why, but somehow, for some reason, God decided that he wanted a guy with a medium build, born in Southern California, average looking, with average smarts, not particularly outstanding in any one thing, but just a faithful husband, a faithful father who would keep plodding along and serving him with whatever God has given him to do. And so God made me. And somewhere along the line, he also thought of you. He made you. And he made you for a reason too, and a purpose. No accidents happened along the way. However you were made, whatever unique abilities and gifts and talents you have, wherever you were born, whatever your intellectual abilities are or your physical abilities, God made you. Serve him with it. He made us, not we ourselves. And the interesting thing is he's still making us. He's not satisfied with this unfinished product that we are. Philippians 1, verse 3 and verse 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it. I remember when I was young, singing a children's song quite regularly. The words say something like, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And it's an ongoing work. It's continuous. And it's not going to be finished. Not in this life. It's not going to be finished until we stand with him and we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We are glorified and we will be like him. But until then, he is in the refining process, the refining work.
that is your life? Are you letting Him? Are you cooperating with Him? Give Him full permission in your life. Say, God, whatever You want to do in my life, whatever is not pleasing to You, take it away. Fix it. Change me. Whatever You must do. And then He says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, frankly, I think most people maybe don't want to be sheep. They'd rather be the shepherd. Being the sheep isn't fun. Who wants to be a stupid sheep? But what this is saying is, you are the sheep. Let God be the shepherd, because He knows where the good pastures are, the green grass. He knows where the water is. He knows more than you do. And so, by us saying, God, I am content to be the sheep, You be the shepherd, we are acknowledging this. And we are saying, God, You know best. And I will trust and rest in You. I will take care. I will trust in Your care for me. Fifth, and finally, verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the very presence of God. There was this place in the temple, the Holy of Holies, and no one else was allowed into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. But there were other areas of the temple where people went to worship God, because this is where the presence of God was. But now, you know that we don't have the temple anymore. Now you know that the presence of God is in you. The Holy Spirit indwells each believer, and we are the temple of God. Everywhere you are. And so everywhere you are, you can be thankful and worship the Lord. You don't have to go to any one particular place. Sometimes churches call this building here the sanctuary, and it gives the idea that this is where the presence of God is. And there's some truth. I don't want to take that away completely, because the Bible says where two or three of us are gathered, I'm there with them. But we also must counter that with the understanding that you have the presence of God in you. And wherever you go, whether you're driving down the highway to work in the morning, God is with you. And you can praise Him and give thanks to Him at that time as well. Wherever you are, know that God is there. He is with you. What if God met our needs to the same extent that we really give Him our lives? What if He stopped loving and caring for us because we fail to love and care for others as we should? I just say, praise God for His grace. Grace is that unearned favor of God. And none of us can say that we've worked hard for it. None of us can say that we've earned God's grace. But He lavishly pours out His grace to us. That's what He did when He gave us Jesus. He lavishly gave us His grace and says, they don't deserve it. He didn't do it because we earned it. And He paid us in this way. We didn't deserve. We didn't earn it. But He gave us Jesus. He gave us what we need. God's mercy is so abundant. How can we not have a heart and attitude of thankfulness? I know this week isn't an official holiday here. I know that. Come Thursday, it's just another day. Everyone gets up, they go to school, they go to work. But there is no reason that as believers, we can overlook giving thanks. always. This week, I want to encourage you, read this psalm at home. Do it in your private time, just with you and the Lord. Review it. Make a list in your heart of the things that you have to be thankful for in the Lord. Be thankful. Be a thankful people. Give thanks. Would you stand with me, please? Let's have a quiet time of invitation. What an invitation is, well, it's inviting you to just respond to the Lord. Sometimes that is just in private prayer, as God has been speaking to you through the Word. And I hope it's a challenge to you. Not what I say so much as just what God has already given to us, His Word, the psalm and other passages. And as God ministers to you, you respond to Him. Sometimes it's this private prayer. Other times it's, well, we invite you to respond to the call of the gospel. Jesus died for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He paid the price so that you can be forgiven. And so we invite you and say, come, receive that forgiveness. There's nothing magical about walking down an aisle and coming to a front, but there is something about responding in a way that involves a commitment on your part. You mean business with the Lord. So we invite you to come. Sometimes you need to pray with somebody. You can ask somebody around you to pray together. Or if you need to talk with somebody, let me know. You can come forward and quietly whisper to me, and we'll have someone talk with you, pray with you, deal with whatever it is that God is speaking to you about. So that's what our invitation is. Do you need to respond to our invitation? Whatever your needs are, God can meet those needs. So generally, this invitation is for you to come to God with a thankful heart and praise Him. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. A heart of thankfulness to Him. If you're here and you don't know the Lord personally, you've never come to Him in genuine faith, the invitation is also for you. You can come. Come forward. Just take me by the hand. Say, Pastor Ken, I want to trust the Lord today. I need to trust Him. I need His forgiveness. And again, we'll have someone pray with you, talk with you, share with you the Word, and you can leave here forgiven. Whatever your needs are, the Lord can meet those needs. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts right now. Make us a thankful people, truly and genuinely. In Jesus' name. Just for the next few moments, the invitation's open. Would you like to come? Do you have needs that God is speaking to you about right now? Whatever it is, come. Come. Just a few more moments. A few more moments. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us when we didn't even know that we needed you. When we were not a thankful people. You loved us and you came to save us. So Lord, I pray that you would work in us and truly make us a thankful people, and may we be a people that shout with a voice and praise you and thank you. Work in us, I pray. And if there's any who are struggling with understanding, and maybe they've never come to repentance, they've never come to you in faith, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in their hearts, that you would bring about a conviction. Don't give them a rest, a peace, until they have come to you and dealt with this issue. So I just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please take a seat for a few moments.
Thank you for the message this morning on thankfulness. Always a timely reminder to be thankful for the things that the Lord has given to us. Thank you. Hey, this morning, if you have your bulletin, just check on the inside pages. Just a few announcements that we would like to share with you. On the notices, we have a Christmas program coming up this December. You know, we have many of our Bible studies and things that are kind of winding down as we get to the end of November. And so many of those Bible studies will not be on, so that we can focus on Christmas and focus on all the Christmas programs and the activities that are happening. You can see a schedule just underneath Christmas 2016, a tale of the three trees, and then the schedule of messages that will be there. Notice the 24th of December, that's a Saturday evening, where we'll have the special production as well. We also have an announcement or a notice about the youth versus parents. It's a family fun day on the 10th of December. This is going to be at 11 o'clock at the Barry Curtis Park. So Josh, you want to come and share a bit about what's going on? It's not going to be a politically correct day on that day. It's one trophy. Not everybody gets a trophy. The best team wins. Parents come out. We're gonna rule. We're going to win that day. I still have a team. She's 18. I still have a team. And we got to keep the team straight of who's a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. So one trophy, parents. It's ours. We're claiming it. Just competition. That's all it is. Hey, before we're dismissed, we'll take just a moment and recognize birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations that are coming up. Anyone having a birthday this week, celebrating a birthday from today, Sunday through Saturday, or perhaps if you were not here last week and we missed your birthday, anyone with a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday? No birthdays. How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary? No wedding anniversaries? There was no birthdays, no wedding anniversaries last week. None this week. The chocolates are building up. All right, well, Pastor Ken, would you like to come and dismiss us in prayer? We'll have our Sunday school starting at 10 o'clock, so you've got a little bit of a break for some teas and coffees and fellowship time in the next 15 to 20 minutes.
All right, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for
your goodness to us. And again, may we be a thankful people. I pray, Lord, that we would count our blessings. Lord, work in our hearts this week. Dismiss us now with your blessings as we leave here. May we serve you, Lord, in all that we do, anywhere that we go. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.